I guess maybe this is the last time that I'll title a sermon Wait. Since I had this sermon ready for last Sunday morning, Tommy and I got here, and Deanne and I walked across the street, and there were sections of the road that were very, very slippery. And Tommy said he about fell getting out of his car, just parking right here on the side street. And then Tommy looked at me and says, "What do you think? Are we going to call it?" And we just decided to because it was only going to get colder from worship service time on. So sorry about, but I promise I won't title one Wait again so that we have to wait for it. Do it in the summer. I'm going to read from the book of James today, starting in the fifth chapter and the seventh verse, down through the 11th verse. Listen to the word of God. "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and summer rains. Or spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Do not grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The Lord, the judge, is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." I know it's not easy to wait. And waiting bugs most every person. I mean, there are times when you go places and you just have to wait much longer than you ever want to. Sometimes you go to the doctor's appointment, your doctor's appointment's at 10 o'clock, and the doctor finally sees you at 11:30. I always want to ask the doctor, "Can I charge you for having me wait? Because you were going to charge me if I didn't show up on time." We go out to get something to eat, and sometimes we don't like the wait. We want it right now, don't we? Eric spoke quite a bit about waiting and how we have to wait in so many times, and this is a season where we do wait. And that's part of the reason for Advent, is to teach us how to wait, how to be patient. How to prepare a new place for the Christ child to come into our hearts, a new place that we haven't prepared before. It's about waiting, isn't it? And sometimes waiting is really, really hard. Nowadays, you can see that people are not willing to wait 1 minute. As I look around sometimes at stoplights, people can't wait 1 minute for the light to change without many of them picking up their phone and looking at it and doing something on their phone while they wait 1 minute. We are part of a society that doesn't want to wait. We've been taught that we can get fast food. We drive up, we tell whoever that's behind that, whatever sound that speaker's making. We tell them what we want. We drive up and expect to get it as soon as we get to the window, don't we? But have to wait 1 minute, and already it starts to irritate you. And how does James start this passage? Be patient. And I guess for most of us, I don't need to read past those two words. It is a holy thing to be patient. It is a holy thing to wait, to try to rush things is unholy. To try to make things move faster and move on is unholy. Sometimes we just need to wait. A great part of the spiritual life is about waiting for God's time. That's a great part of the spiritual life. Most of everything we do, we're waiting for God to put things in place. We're waiting for God to bring the right things about, that things could move on. We're waiting. I mean, do you realize what the scriptures say about the Christ child coming? That God did not allow the Christ child to come until the time was right. And sometimes I might have to go, wait a minute. Wouldn't it have been better if he came today? Because if he came today, we could have it on the internet, we could have it on the news, and everybody around the world could see and hear about it all at the same time. But the right time for Christ to come as a child was over 2,000 years ago. I know many times in my spiritual life, I've had to wait for God to put things together. I've had to wait for God to do the right things so that I could do the part that God wants me to do. I've had to wait. And sometimes I know for sure what God wants me to do, and yet I still have to wait. And you see, the understanding in the Greek, and we've talked about this before, I've shared it with you before, there's two senses in the Greek of time. And one is clock time. One is clock time. What time? The other is what's called kairos. The right moment. The appointed time. The time when it's the best for this to happen. The time when it should happen and it should continue on. But most people believe having it right now is always the best. Correct? Have you got gifts at home waiting for you under the Christmas tree? I tried to convince my parents every year to let us open gifts early. And guess what? Even as an adult, I tried to convince my wife to open gifts early. She has never seen my way. Because right now is the best time to open the gifts, right? So that I can spend some time with it and find out what I got. Not, what, Thursday? I don't need to wait until Thursday, do I? It's just her and I celebrating Christmas together. We won't have a chance to see our kids and grandkids until in January and have Christmas with them then. So can you help me, please? She's sitting back there shaking her head. But see, we're all convinced that right now is the right time to have what we're supposed to have, isn't it? Right now. Not later. Right now. Well, James gives us three examples of what it means to wait. He talks about farmers, he talks about prophets, and he talks about Job. And Eric, I will admit that I did think of you this week as I read this passage over and over again about farmers, that farmers plant a crop, and that farmers have to wait. You can't rush that crop along. You have to wait for that crop to come. You have to wait for the rains. You have to wait for the temperature to be the right temperature. You have to wait. A very good example. The prophets. Do you realize that many of the prophets told about the forecoming of the Messiah thousands of years before it happened. Think about that. And yet they knew what God was bringing about. They knew what was going to happen. The people had known the words over and over again. They'd heard them read over and over again that the Messiah is coming. And yet they've got to wait. And some people still wait because they think the Messiah hasn't come the first time yet. And then, Job, who I know many times you think of as the man who's the highest on the pillar of being a patient person. And if you think that, you haven't read the book of Job. Because Job speaks out against God and asks God again and again, why is this not being fixed now? And I want you to realize that the beginning of the book of Job says that Job never sinned and that he was a righteous man. And all of those bad things happened to him. And his wonderful three friends keep trying to tell him that if you'll confess your sins, God will fix all your problems. And Job says, I've never. If you'll confess your sins, and Job has to wait for the right time for all of that to be fixed. Three incredible examples. Job waits very actively, by the way. I don't picture Job as being a patient man that's just sitting on the back, just waiting. Go and read his words. He has a very active waiting for God to reconcile things and waiting to get things done. Well, even today, some want God to end the chaos that exists and have Christ return now. They're not willing to wait for the right time. They want it all to end now, this moment. That God would set everything right. And I think James would say, wait. It's going to happen. Wait. It will happen. Wait. Just as the farmer waits for the crop. Just as the prophets waited for the Messiah to come and waited and are still waiting for God to set everything right. We need to wait for the right timing of the second coming. But all of Advent tells me that as I wait, I need to prepare myself and I need to be ready. And the first thing that we need to prepare ourselves with is we need to make sure that we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. And I just want to do a little aside here for a moment. When I first accepted Jesus Christ, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I wanted to be saved. I wanted to be forgiven. I wanted to be cleansed. I wanted to be made whole. I wanted to have eternal life. I wanted all of that stuff set straight. But I only made Jesus my Savior. I didn't make Jesus my Lord at the same time. And that's why I believe it's two different things. It is two different things. Some of you made that same decision all at once, but I didn't in my life. It took me almost 10 years later to make that second decision where I was willing to say that Jesus is my Lord. Meaning, one, that when Jesus asks me to do something, I don't look and go, that's outside my comfort zone. I don't have the skills and talents to do that. I'm not best fit for doing that. You see, That's like playing Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4. Because Moses tells God again and again, when God says, "You're the one I want to go back to Egypt to lead my people out." And Moses says, "Don't you know I'm wanted for murder back there? I can't go back there. Don't you know that I'm not a good speaker?" And God looks at him. I love this as God comes back. God looks at him and says, "Is it not I who made your tongue? And will I not give you the words to speak?" And you see, Moses keeps coming up with excuse after excuse after excuse. And to me, at that moment in his life, Moses had not made God Lord. Because if God is your Lord, there's no way you could say no. There's no way you could say it's outside my comfort zone. There's no way you could say, I really don't think I'm gifted for that. Because God will gift you. God will give you. And God will strengthen you to live the life that God asks you to live. That's what it means to have God as Lord. When God is my Lord, I can't say no. Because I've already said I trust you deeply to solve things, to work things out, to bring things at the right time, to do it in the right way. And when we're willing to not wait, we're wanting to tell God how to do it the right way. God, I don't want to wait because I want it right now. I don't want it later. I don't want it somewhere down in the future. I look back over my life now and I can see the number of places that I tried to rush ahead. And every time I did, I failed. Every time I failed. But if I waited for God to put things in the right place at the right time and trusted God by walking with God as my Lord, it always worked. Now, I'm not willing to say that doesn't mean there was still not problems. There was problems. There was roadblocks. There was speed bumps like there are in the high school parking lot. Those are, if you've ever been out to the high school, those speed bumps out there are, they're colossal. They're out of this world. They really, really are. Now, I know you got a bunch of teenagers out there driving, and maybe that's why they made them that way. But, I mean, there's one place you can't get over one speed bump without starting into the second one. I mean, and if you don't believe me, drive out there today and drive around the parking lot. I don't know who designed them and who did it, but... And you see, that's going to happen in the spiritual life. But that doesn't mean that I should try to rush ahead of God. In my office, my manger still doesn't have Jesus in it. And as I sit and look at it, I'm thinking about how can I better prepare myself to accept Jesus once again? How can I better have a new conversion experience? How can I better have a deeper understanding of what it means for this baby to be my Lord? It won't be until Wednesday night that I put Jesus in the manger. It's something that helps me prepare. I'm sure most of you already have Jesus in the manger, don't you? You set it out when you set everything out. And somebody's going to come to me afterwards and say, "Pastor, I have to set Jesus out with everything else because Mary's holding him and they don't separate." Are you creating a new spot for Jesus? Are you creating a spot where you realize waiting's okay? Waiting is a holy thing? Waiting is something that we need to do? You know, maybe we really do need to consider James' counsel and be patient. Allowing God to determine the right time for everything. Maybe we need to step back and stop trying to control things, especially spiritual things. Because we know as we read the scriptures that we don't know how to make the best decisions spiritually. Because if we did, we wouldn't need Jesus. Right? Maybe we need to learn how to wait some. Maybe one year I need to do a Christmas Advent service sermon that I just sit here and look at my notes and you wait for me to stand up and preach. How long would I have to wait before you got antsy? That's about it right there, right? Are you willing to wait for God to put things together for the right time? And while you wait, patiently, are you willing to create a new spot for Jesus in your life? Are you looking at what needs to be cleared away? Are you looking at what needs to be set aside? Are you looking at how you haven't fully accepted Jesus as your Lord? And are you willing to let go of trying to control everything? How do you need to let go? Allowing God to decide the right timing of spiritual matters. How do you need to let go? Giving God permission. Stop trying to control things. And let God determine the right timing of all spiritual matters. And not trying to rush anything forward. Maybe part of the waiting is to teach us to be people of thanks and of gratitude as it comes about. How do you need to let go? Let's pray. Lord, there is so many ways that we need to let go. And so many of us are continuing to try to control only things that you can control. Only things that you can bring about. So, Lord, teach us. Show us where we need to be people who are filled with patience, but yet having a very active patience like Job did, and preparing for, Lord, when you bring things about. Lord, help us to wait. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.